Robin.
All right. Hello. My name is Robin, and I'm joined today by my co-workers Timo and Valère. We're from Element's VoIP team. We work on Element Call mainly. And today we're here to talk to you about Matrix RTC Exgado, a battle royale. So of course, Matrix is an open standard for decentralized communication, and it is divided into rooms. And in these rooms, users can send these persistent events to send text messages or things of that sort. But of course, this is just one kind of communication. There's a whole world of real-time communication that we'd also like to be able to do on Matrix, such as exchanging voice and video data, or real-time data for a virtual world or a whiteboard or something like that. What if we don't want this like persistent event model? Well, we've spent the last few years trying to come up with a concept for Matrix RTC, which lets you augment your rooms with new features. So it lets you add new slots for real-time communication to your room. And so the possibilities here are that an admin can come in and add a slot for, I don't know, your Saturday night group calls, or your 3D virtual world, or your multiplayer crossword game, whatever you want. And so these all are things that get added to your room. And yeah, that is the idea behind a slot here, is that it is a combination of an application, which specifies what kind of data participants are going to exchange over the slot, and an identifying tag, just so you can have multiple parallel calls or something. And so m.call is the very first application that we are proposing to add to the spec. And this is, of course, just the basic functionality that you need for any voice or video call. But third-party apps are completely possible, too. So you could come in with a custom identifier here for your world simulation. And yeah, how this works is an admin will come along and they will send a state event. And this is how slots are recorded in Matrix. They are stored in room state. The admin here would send a state event with the application specifying the type. And there can also be some application-specific data there. And the reason why we're using state events for this is because it allows for Matrix RTC slots to be moderated, essentially. They can be opened and closed just by the admins. You can decide exactly what can happen in your room. And that way they are persistent and they are authorized. The idea is that just like you join rooms, when Alice and Bob want to get together on a call, they will connect to the slot within the room. And so how they do this is Alice is going to send a sticky event. And sticky events are another new concept that we're proposing to add to Matrix. The deal with these is they are just like normal room events, except they have guaranteed reliable delivery for basically up to an hour. So whenever Bob comes along and syncs his client, he's going to receive Alice's sticky event, even if it was like way scrolled off the timeline. And so the nice properties of these sticky events is that they are ephemeral, which is appropriate for these RTC session participations in a way that state isn't. Room state, it's like you can't delete an entry, so it sticks around forever. And they can be encrypted even. And they're also low privilege. You don't have to be an admin to send one of these because they're not a state event. And the most important thing here is that Alice's event declares how you can reach her, the RTC transports. And so how this works, well, of course, in reality, Alice and Bob aren't little Lego minifigures sitting in a room together. They are people with computers sending data across a network. And so the way that Alice and Bob end up exchanging their data is they are going to choose a transport. And the transport that we've now implemented for Element Call uses LiveKit media servers. But the idea is there could be more added to the specification for sure. And these are always going to be either resources provided by your home server or maybe some peer-to-peer thing. Each member will choose their own transport that's given by their home server. And then we let them just upload their media there locally. They decide their own transport because we want to maintain the federated model that we know in Matrix, even for real-time communication. Each member here will then go and also download the media from the other's remote server. And so this seems maybe a little unusual for a calling system because you have to connect to multiple things just to participate. But the reason why I think we love this model and think it deserves to be in the spec is that it handles large calls gracefully without forcing them to be centralized. So you get a nice balance there with scalability. Because the thing is, with large calls, more often than not, many of the users will actually end up converging on the same home servers. That's just how large calls in like office environments end up working. There will be resources like a home server provided by the company that most users are on. And so they'll end up sharing transports. And that means that to connect to this larger call, well, okay, it's only of 7 people. Bob only has to connect to just 2 servers to download the media here. And yeah, so the LiveKit servers are still handling the fan out of all of everybody's media, which is the hard part normally for large calls. If you have to upload your media to N other people, that gets pretty expensive for phones that are on flaky mobile connections or someone on a DSL connection. Yeah, and so those are all the basics of Matrix RTC already. Right, there are 4 concepts you should remember. We have slots. This is how you set them up and moderate Matrix RTC. The admin sets up the slot in the room by sending a state event, and that state event specifies an application, which is the type of data you're exchanging. And then to join, we connect by sending our membership event, and we're publishing our media over our chosen transport, which is described there. So yeah, slots, applications, memberships, and transports. Now, there are a number of other things that I haven't been able to describe here today because I don't have that much time. The interesting stuff is delayed events and notifications and encryption. But there are a number of other talks from last year's Matrix conference. If you're interested in learning about how Matrix RTC works in detail, you can go check those out. And yeah, the MSCs for all of this are, well, yeah, they're all up on the Matrix spec proposals repository, and I think they're not quite ready for the spec core team yet, perhaps, but yeah, they're very close to being sent off. We're making our final adjustments to them. And yeah, so they all need your feedback. Please go take a look at them and see what you think. All right. Hand it off to Timo.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for the introduction, the main part of the talk, and thanks for giving us a background on the Matrix RTC bits. And now we're at the point where we want to build something with it. So with this, big changes, or not big changes, but this evolution of the spec, we also did some really big changes to our code base to make it all compatible and have a proven implementation for the spec core team. And why we did this, refactoring basically, and adaptation to the new spec, we noticed that we will eventually have a very clear cut in our code base, which basically gives us something like a Matrix RTC SDK for free. And that's what we will talk about now. So how to use it and what can you build with it. So first, this is like a very, very rudimentary overview what our element call code base looks like. We're building on the Matrix JS SDK, and those are all the parts which are just purely Matrix related, sticky events and state events. And then we have the element call repository, and this, thanks to this refactoring and adapting everything to the new spec, is now also pretty clearly split into 2 sections. The bottom section is Matrix RTC, and the top section is then really element call. So the bottom section is things like connecting to LiveKit, connecting to multiple SFUs, because that's all not done in the JS SDK. And we notice we can easily pull out this bottom block and expose it as a new build target. So how does that look like? Basically here, this line is just in between the layer, between the yellow and the green block. And that is the API we decided for this Matrix RTC SDK. So it's pretty small, fairly simple. You have things like joining, leaving, tracking members as a observable, so you see any new joiner and leaver. And then, of course, you have the super important functions like sending real-time data, sending Matrix data, and inside the members, you have the connections to then also subscribe to the data. And we even have like a high-level data observable for all the live data. And now what we are actually now going with the demo is that we use this SDK target and build like a very, very simple HTML template application for the Godot game engine. So you can use all the matrix RTC bits, like connecting to LiveGit, connecting to multiple SFUs, handling delayed event, handling sticky events, authenticating with matrix, all those bits, abstract it away, and you just call await, create matrix RTC SDK, you get an SDK, and then with the things we just showed, you can, let's say, store the data observable into something called data observable, and then you can use that in Godot. So Godot has like a pretty nice FFI basically for JavaScript. So you use the JavaScript bridge, get the window interface, and then do dot matrix RTC SDK, what we just stored in the window. And then with this SDK, we have access to our data observable and all the other things. But let's just look at the data observable one. And we can use this in a game engine to build games with it. And that's where I pass over to Valéa, showing you.
Hello, so my name is Valer. So I'm going to show you like the Godot part, so the part that probably will fail. So yeah, because we wanted to show like everything we do in Matrix, basically we build upon blocks, building blocks that you can reuse to do more things. So the sticky events, you could like send events that have additional delivery guarantee. Super important to say I'm in the call. We have the delayed event, so now you can do scheduled event. I can send this event tomorrow at 10 a.m. You can do self-destruct event, but we wanted to do a game. So this is a full local setup here. I'm going to do live at first. We're going to try live after, but you can see already that it's a various federation, so they are not running on the same home server. And so the first part is this is like this part is matrix communication. So you can see the other side, say join game. So I have now a game. So here, but everything that happened was in the room. So I've got, I'm aware of the membership. Now I'm going to do start, but the start is going to send events via the data lifetime layer, and I'm going to send the jumps. So I can only jump for the left player, so one of them will fall down. So you should hopefully see me on the other side. Like you can see that I'm actually so this is like using two different LiveKit transport. And now, for the matter of this talk, we created a public room. I mean, maybe Timo, and I will start the game. So the room is here. It's flappy-rtc.fosdem. So you have to try from desktop. I don't think you can from mobile. There is no widget support yet. But if you can, we will let this room open a bit if you want to try a bit later. Let me first start the game. So I'm waiting for players. So that's the part where we see if we have good network.
No, it sucks.
It sucks. You're stuck. So, okay, I have a demo. I recorded something. So it's like when we started that, I say, oh, how hard can it be to have rollback network code? Because I wanted it to be like really real time. I wanted the birds to fire bullets, things that make you do small jumps. So I said, wow, rollback network code, it's easy. But here it was with a bad network, and you will see that the other side is like rollback and catching up. So it's teleporting. But yeah, that's how it looks like with two people in a. So let me go back and see. Oh, it's three players, right?
Yeah.
Woo! Okay, that's the time. Four. Let's try it.
Two, one.
Oh, well, which one am I? Okay. So if there is too much lag, it's going to lost the players. Oh, I'm dead.
I'm still doing all right.
So yeah, that's basically the game. So you can add that. So I think I will push that to GitHub if people want to try it in some workroom, if you want to have a break. Oh, So I don't know who is top one. Oh, there's five players, so there's one player more. So there's also another game. I just want to show you how. So it's a widget, so basically I can go here, an extension. We have another game. I won't be able to type, but because I'm holding the microphone. But just to show you that now it will ask you for a wall of permission. It's a bit scary, so like the widget wants to take control of your life. So it should be loading. Or maybe I already loaded? I don't know. Oh, this is the wall. Okay, so it, so there's a lot of legacy heavens here. It's like, so that's something we need to work out in the widget API to ask you a bit, to group a bit the permission. So this, and yeah, this thing, the last bug, it's requesting that several times. Okay. Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah,
we do have a couple of players, though.
How can I get rid of that, Timo?
Oh, you just have to press it as often as it called it.
Yeah, okay.
There we go.
So here the game is like you have to type. Oh, I have to do something. You have to type to. Oh, you have to start the game, right?
I think it started. Yeah. So everybody just types. If they are not sure what exactly, they can look at the three-letter preview on the bottom left corner, and then we have multiple people on the track. I think for Valer, they.
I don't know. I'm still.
On my computer, they are shown. As little Godo icons.
So, of course, one of them had to fail.
But as soon as one person will make the full round, it will send into the room how quick they were.
It looks a lot better on this one.
Yeah. Should we just plug it out? Probably just,
last time we tried to plug. I can try to reload it. Oh, yeah. I think I already... let me unpin this one. Maybe it doesn't like it, and there are two of them. I think I already clicked on that. Oh, I can see people now. Oh, they are. Okay. How much do I have to click on there? I'm not clicking? Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's...
Okay, so yeah, people are racing. You race by typing the letters. Let me try to go. You could have put some real words, no? Yeah, so that's it. So like this is built on top of the Matrix RTC just to show like all the things you can build with the SDK. So any questions? You have to do that sort of... I'll repeat the question. So basically, if you want to do a game, but using something else that Godot's... Yeah, another language. So you just have to have that sort of bridge. So as we say in Godot, it's quite easy. Like they have a JavaScript bridge. I mean, it just allows me to get a... I don't know if people can see things. But I'm just getting the bridge, I'm getting the windows, and I'm getting the Matrix.cc. So if you have that bridge, then it's just a matter of listening to event. And
yeah, but if I'm not using Godot, so I don't have this ability to
JavaScript. Oh, you can do the game in JavaScript, and I think we'll just work
on it. If I'm not doing it in Java, my point is if I want to use the RTS, the Java Matrix, or something, I'm not technology. I'm building games in Go, for example.
Yeah.
So I cannot use in the engine that I'm using, which is not Godot, I cannot load JavaScript for that Mac. So I can use it.
Oh yeah, probably. If you cannot use any of the GSSDK, you have to build some kind of SDK.
And I think there's another dimension to this question. So basically, the way we develop RTC applications currently is always as a widget. That has a big advantage that you don't need to give some random game your full Matrix account with all the encryption keys, but instead Element Web or whatever other trusted widget supporting client you have. We'll do all the encryption and key backup and everything, and the widget can just talk what it really needs to talk with this client. And as soon as you do a widget, you're forced to use an iframe anyways. So the alternative would be really building a full Go client with then also a Go-based matrix RGC SDK, so then you cannot really benefit from this work. It's really for mostly beneficial for widget developers, and yeah, our idea is also that this is basically the safest and most sane way to do RGC applications, because you get all the security benefits from not leaking your full key backup to the RGC application. Yeah? Oh, well, that's first, okay.
So, as far as I understood, the transport part is also abstracted in the SDK, not only the signaling and managing the slots in the picture. So if I were to use some other mode of transport, like a socket or web transport, that would be the place to implement support for that?
Yeah. Exactly. So basically, the SDK currently is very much focused on real-time applications, not really voice and video. Since you have multi-widget support per room, the idea is also that there will be dedicated m.call implementation that do your calling. And if you want an experience like talking to people while playing a game, you would just run two RTC applications at the same time. And yeah, to keep the SDK simple, it really is just focused on the data transport. And then, yeah, if you have a different kind of transport, it would all be abstracted away in the RGC SDK, and, yeah, you could use it. Okay, yeah.
We just learned in the previous talk that the Rust SDK is so much better. So is there a plan to move from Rust from the JS SDK to Rust, or?
Yeah, I can also do a comment on this. Maybe, yeah, we also hear other comments. So basically, as I said before, most of Matrix RTC currently is built for the widget target, because that makes a lot of sense for the current use cases, and maybe also for a couple of future use cases. And of course, the best way to use a Matrix RTC application is to have a Rust SDK client exposing a widget API over the Rust SDK, and then just having your actual RTC application running as a JavaScript widget. Otherwise, you would need to build, or there's discussions for building modules of the RTC logic in Rust and then run it as WebAssembly in the widget. So I think we really talk about a full-fledged Rust-based Matrix RTC SDK as soon as people start to build native implementations of voice and video calling, which are not iframe-based. Maybe somebody else wants to add something on top?
Yeah, I would just add that, let's see here. I would just add that the dependency that element call, for example, currently has on Matrix.js SDK, it really doesn't need to be using JS SDK at all, because yeah, it is ultimately just making widget API requests rather than client server API requests. And so the only reason we've gone for JS SDK there is, I don't know, we've sort of hacked it so that it redirects things over the widget API. And just has a familiar sort of JavaScript interface that lets us develop element call for widgets and this standalone SPA mode at the same time. But I don't think we want to have the SPA indefinitely, at least once we get all the features of the SPA working just within our element messenger clients, so that you can even do guest access through them. At that point, we would probably be able to switch away from the JS SDK and have something more custom made for widgets. Yeah. Anything else? No? Okay. Thank you for coming to the talk.